Scotty Day, the Toeway, Abbott Usher, Richmond.
Just normally can hear something. Normally I go, and then it goes, fine. Yeah. Beep, beep, beep. On my car? No. Okay, so first of all, it's not passionate. I've asked to speak. Gosh, this is very intimidating. I was asked to speak before Yontus. I had 3 days to prepare. It's very, very exciting. I said to my wife, I'm definitely going to do the Torah way on Isruchag. She said to me, yeah, but when are you going to prepare? Well, I said, 3 days, 3 days. Shabbos, Yontus, Yontus Sheni. Easy stuff, easy, no problem, yeah? So, I don't prepare on Wednesday. I don't prepare on Thursday. I start on Friday. I start thinking, how am I going to prepare? Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, 72 hours, easy peasy. The problem is you can't write anything down. So Rabbi, please have rachamim on me. I've literally had about 2 hours sleep. So I was going around Shavuos, the whole of Shavuos, I was going around trying to think like Chazal and all these, how to remember things I was going to say. I had all these pictures in my mind about different things and how do you remember things when you can't write stuff down. So if I start telling you, yeah, don't worry. So please have rachamim on me. But I think it will be, at least it will be funny anyway. Anyway, most of us have been up. Most of us, the last 3 days, we've been oisit, we've been up most of the night. Well, that's just those of us who went to park life. But I'm saying, Lemaisa, I did hear, someone told me that the camera, or cameras, they actually add about 10 pounds to your weight. When you watch yourself on the screen, on the Torah Weight website, so you look a little bit wider. Believe it or not. I was told this. I was also told that a 3-day chag, so you get Shabbos and 2-day Yontif, adds another 10 pounds. So I was taught, so if you are watching now online, you should know that I'm actually very, very skinny. And it's just the three days have given it away. Anyway, we just left Sfiras HaOmer. Very chosh of a time. We left Sfiras HaOmer. Now, Sfiras HaOmer, my house, is very, very, very exciting. You've got to make stuff exciting for the kids, right? That's the main thing. So you can say, oh, today is one day, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni. Or you can, you know, mamish put up posters and there and there and there and tell the kids. So what I decided was the latter. I'm going to tell my kids to get very, very excited about Sfiras HaOmer. I was very worried, because I've been in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, for many, many years. And I was very worried about Sfiras HaOmer in Manchester. Because you dub an early here, and there's this plug, and there's that plug, and there's more plugs than in a bath, yeah? And you don't know what's going on, and suddenly you've got to say Sfiras HaOmer, but you've got to stay up for like 6 hours, and it's midnight to count the Omer. So Baruch Hashem, I made it, 49 not out, yeah? None of you seem impressed, because you're all raised here, and you're like, obviously you made it, Rabbi, yeah? Okay, fine, if you knew me, you'd know it was impressive. Anyway, 49 not out, which is nearly a half century. Now I want to tell you one story, it's very interesting, before I get onto the normal inyanim. Sfiras HaOmer, so you always have to make sure things are exciting in the house. So we had a calendar up, and my son put up a calendar, and my daughter put up a calendar. I said to my son, I said, I'm so worried I'm going to forget. He's only 4. I said to him, every time you remind daddy, Sfiras HaOmer, you get 5p in Habers. He mummish bought the whole shop out on the 49th day. He's going home, and he's got like 3 people behind him pushing trolleys. Unbelievable. So I said to him, I said to my wife, she's also very excited about Sfiras HaOmer, a bit too excited. So then, towards the end of the Omer, you know, there's a lot of halachas that you're allowed to say which day it is. You're not allowed to say which day it is. Do you have to say, yo, yesterday was, all these different inyanim, I'm sure you had, sure people discussed it. I said to my wife, I said, what's for supper tonight? She said, last night we had chicken, right? So I think that at the end of the day, she took it a little bit too far. Shavuos, I don't know, Shavuos, it just left, we just had 2 days of Shavuos. And I hope that most of you were makabel Torah. I hope you feel a little bit more enlightened, a little bit closer to Hashem, a little bit more involved in limud Torah, a little bit more involved in avodas Hashem. If you're not, don't worry, because I don't think you're alone, and that's why I'm here. I'm here to recharge your spiritual batteries. And if I can make you laugh at the same time, it might be a bonus, but I definitely to recharge your spiritual batteries is my main thing. Very interesting. I saw two stories over Shabbos / Yom Tov, that from the Gemaras, from the Shas, two stories about Matan Torah, which I think Lechoira could change your whole pshat on everything you believe about Torah. So if you think Torah is mitzvahs and learning and this and that, it's true, but everything has so many deeper levels to understanding. And I want to tell you two stories, minimum, and from these two stories, I hope we can reach high levels in understanding what Torah is, what Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed the Jewish people with, and will help our avodas Hashem. Story number one, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Peites. Peites, Amud Beis. Or maybe it's not Amud Beis. Peites, I think it goes over the page maybe. So, oh no, it's Amud Aleph, sorry. Peites. And it's a very famous Gemara, you probably know it. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he's on Har Sinai, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, you're going to get the Torah. So he goes up to Shemayim to receive the Torah. So it says he was there 40 days, 40 nights. I don't know, maybe the trial for the Amazon thing ran out. I don't know. But he's there 40 days and 40 nights. And he's up in Shemayim. And as he's about to receive the Torah, the Malachim, they turn around to him, and they say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, can't give the Torah to this guy. What are you doing? You can't give the Torah to Yidden, to human beings. What are you doing? Have Yates the horrors. Vedesta says the Malachim felt. How can you give the Torah to people who have Yates the horrors? How can they even have a Hava Minute to an Aveira? How can it even be? They sometimes don't want to learn Torah. They don't want to do mitzvahs. How can you be Oifik? How can you give Torah to such people? So Moshe Rabbeinu becomes a bit flustered. He doesn't know what to say. He wasn't expecting this. So it says that he looked to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, Moshe, answer them. What's your teretz? Why are you going to be makabel the Torah? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm scared. I'm scared if I answer them, I don't know exactly how to translate it, but I'm scared if I answer them, they'll burn me with their words. They'll burn me. They're so against Am Yisrael. They're so against human beings getting Torah. I'm scared they're going to burn me with their words. So I want to ask just in the room very, very quickly, you think to yourselves, you don't want to say, what would you say? What would you say? You're in Shemayim, the Malachim say to you, no, why do you deserve the Torah? You don't deserve the Torah. Flesh and blood, you're going to this, you're going to that, you do Aveiros. So what do you think Moshe said? So you all know the Gemaras, right? Talmud Chachamim. But I'm saying, what do you think Moshe would say? So Moshe Rabbeinu looks at them, and he gives the Teretz, which is so difficult to understand, but hopefully we'll have more clarity by the end of this year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, don't worry, hold on to my throne of glory. So Moshe holds on. So he's got some like confidence now. He's holding on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei Kovod. Yeah, he's holding on. He says, answer them. So he looks at them, Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says to them like this. He says, were you in Egypt? Were you in Mitzrayim? Were you in Egypt? The Torah says, I took you out of Egypt. Were you ever in Egypt? Were you in Mitzrayim? And they look at each other and they go, Vos Egypt? Right, what's Egypt? African cup of nations, but really it's in the Middle East. I don't know, yeah? But Lamai said, what's Egypt? They never heard of the place. Then he looks at them and he says, tell me, the Torah says you shouldn't worship other gods. You shouldn't do Avodah Zorah. Tell me, do you live amongst nations who worship idols? No, we're in Shemayim, we're Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's amazing here. There's no Avodah Zorah here. He looks at them again, he says, tell me, the Torah says you should keep Shabbos. You should work 6 days. On the seventh day, you should rest. Do you work? So they all say no. And one of them says, well, I'm self-employed, but I don't declare. Yeah. And then the next one, he says, are you honest in business? He says, of course. They said, we don't work. We're not businessmen. We're Malachim. He says, do you have parents? Do you have a mommy and daddy to honor? They look at him. They go, Moshe, no, we don't have parents. We're Malachim. And it says, the Gemara says, suddenly, the Malachim look at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say to him, ah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you should give him the Torah. And it says, they became friends, Moshe and the Malachim, and the Malachim gave him gifts, and they gave him certain things, certain mystical things to heal Klal Yisrael in the future. So that's the way the story goes. And everyone hears this story in the Gemara and Shabbos, and they go, that's a nice story, what a nice story. I have no idea what's going on in this story. I don't understand how Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim, and they have a good tainer on us, right? A good tainer. Sometimes some of us do aveiras, right? Believe it or not, some of us sometimes do aveiras. Sometimes we don't learn, we're meant to learn. Sometimes we don't have proper kavana. We have the eights of horrors. Sometimes. The Malachim have a good teretz. They have a good teretz. Why you shouldn't get the Torah? Why should you don't deserve the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu's teretz, I literally have no idea what he's talking about. I'm sorry, I have no idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll come to you one sec. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to them and he says, ah, were you in Egypt? Do you keep Shabbos? Do you have a father and a mother to honor? And then they say, oh, you're tucker right. So I had a look around in the Mefarshim. What do you do, Rabbi Isai? What do you do if you have a Shver Gemara? What do you do? You're not sure how to learn a Gemara. It doesn't make sense to you. Yeah? You look at the little notes at the bottom of the art scroll. And that'll always help you, yeah? Ah, don't worry, it's fine. I learned properly. I even took him a sifter. So, Lema'isa, the Moshe Rabbeinu, he now looks around. He looks around, and he says like this. So I'm wondering, what's pshat? So some of them are farshim, they say, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to appreciate the Torah more. He wanted to know what he was giving us, and the Menachim wanted us to know. So therefore, they wanted Moshe to appreciate it. And when you have to fight for something, you appreciate it. But it's not mashma like that, right? It's not mashma like that. It's not mashma that they wanted us to appreciate it. It's mashma that the teretz that Moshe gave was the teretz that needed to be given. There was something bothering the Malachim that asking them, do you keep mitzvahs? Were you in Egypt? Do you keep Shabbos? Do you have a father and a mother to honor? There's something there that's shaykh to us receiving the Torah. So I had a look in the Pachad Yitzchak. And he doesn't deal with this directly on this topic, but he brings from other places, and it seems this is how he would understand Gemara. And I think it opens up your eyes to a new world in learning. Honestly, a completely new world. What did Am Yisrael bring to the world? What did they say? So we say, well, they brought the Torah and the mitzvahs, but on a deeper level, what did they bring? What's the difference between us, between the Torah perspective of life, the Torah's perspective of spirituality, and the other nations of the world? What do you think? Did you want to say? What's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is, and I know it sounds a bit cheesy, excuse the pun, yeah? But the difference is, it seems that everything we do revolves around physicality. So many mitzvahs are physical. It's hilarious. I mean, if you said to someone who didn't have any, a Martian, came down from the planet, I guess he's living Mars, yeah? And he comes down from Mars, and he says to you, what's spirituality? You would assume his thought of spirituality would be sitting on a mountain, meditating, not being involved in the world. The Torah comes along and it tells you, no. Spirituality is eating. Spirituality is cheesecake. Spirituality is tefillin. Spirituality is, you take these begadim, and you put strings on the end, and suddenly they become a mitzvah. Spirituality is being married. Spirituality is being a good dad, being a good husband. Spirituality is working 6 days, so on the seventh day you rest, and the whole week becomes kaddish. That's spirituality. That's the chiddush. That's what the Jewish people brought to the world, and the Malachim didn't understand it. The Malachim thought, leave the Torah with us. The Torah is in Shemayim. The Torah is Choshev. You're going to give over Torah. How can they reach such, how can people attain high levels in Torah? And Moshe says, that's the whole point. The whole point of Torah is that you're Isaac in the physical world, but at the same time, you're Mekadesh it. That you take the physical world and you make it holy. It's why every single mitzvah, well, maybe not every single, but so many mitzvahs are to do with physicality. So many. I once heard someone say, really, if you summarize Yiddishkeit, you said there was some kind of battle we won and now we eat. Yeah, some people say this, but it's not a joke. It's because the whole point of Judaism, the whole point of Torah and mitzvahs, is to take the physical world and to make it holy. There's so many examples of this. It's unbelievable. I remember I was once talking to a bocher in Osameach many, many years ago. I'll try and explain this concept to him. And I remember it was at a mishmar. So I don't know if they have it here. Yeah, mishmar Thursday night, the cholent and ganze thing. Yeah. So I was talking to this bocher on the mishmar. And I said to him, let's look in front of you. Let's talk about being holy in the spiritual world. So I said to him, Yiddishkeit has an opinion on so many facets of life. It's because Hashem is involved. We believe he's constantly involved in everything. So let's take this bowl of cholent. I had incredible siyata dishmaya. Because if there's one thing that's spiritual, it's cholent. So you're all looking at me and you're thinking, cholent's about as spiritual as goldfish. Yeah, not very spiritual at all. You're wrong. You're all wrong. And I'll tell you why. I had siyata dishmaya, remember. So I took this bowl of cholent, and I lifted it up. I said to this bocher, I said, look at this bowl of cholent. What do you see? He said, I see meat and potatoes and a bit of barley and maybe some hair. Yeah? So I said to him, yes, another mice with a cat, I think. Gunter's like, yeah? So I said, what do you think if a spiritual person goes into a bowl of cholent? He says, you put it in the thing and you press the fire and the gunter thing comes on, and a day later you come back and you hope you don't get food poisoning, right? I said, no. I said, take this bowl of cholent and really analyze it. So I said, what's in this cholent? He says, meat. I said, meat. I said, well, how do you have meat? He says, well, you... So I said to him, well, the meat, I eat this hechshu, I don't eat this hechshu, and this one I like, and this one, but yevet ali, and da-da-da, and you've got to take the cow, and you've got to shecht it, and then you've got to salt it, and then you've got to make sure that there's this, and this brocha, and that brocha, and you've got to transport it, and you've got to make sure that it's double-sealed, because if it's not, it's a hazaket. Comes the thing. Then I said, what about the vegetables? I said, well, the vegetables are in Eretz Yisrael, so you've got to make sure trumas and mices and bugs and checking and all the kinds of thing. And then he's like getting, oh, this rabbi's really like lost his mind. Then I say to him, and you know what else? I say, when you put it on the fire, you want to make sure that a yid turns on the fire. Because if you don't, then there's a problem of Bishul Akum. Unless you hold that this isn't a chosh of a dish, which it probably wasn't, yeah? But unless you hold, then maybe it's okay. And he's like, he's falling off his chair. What's this guy going on about? And then I say to him, And all these mice, and then you've got to make sure that the pots and the pans, they're all toivol. They're not toivol, that's a problem. Because when Am Yisrael eats, we're Kaddish. So we have to take things which are made for physicality, food, and we toivol them to make them holy, to make them spiritual. He says to me, Rabbi, you finished? I go, yeah, I think I'm finished now. Then I pick it up and I go, you know what the last problem is? I go, what bracha do you make on this? It's like, what is this? I say, well, maybe you're only eating it for the mezonos, yeah? Because the Chazal say mezonos is always the ikka. So then it would be a mezonos. But come on, the meat's geschmack, right? So maybe I'll make two brachas. Yeah, but I don't really like barley, and I like the potatoes, and the roiv is the potatoes. Maybe the roiv takes over. And you're all falling asleep thinking, what's he gone? Because Yiddishkeit has an opinion on everything. Yiddishkeit, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is interested in your everyday lives, and he wants to be involved. And Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Malachim, he was saying, Torah is involved. The Torah, Hashem, loves you. And the spiritual world is holy. And if we can be Isaac in the spiritual world, you can raise it. You can have your feet on the ground. That's right. Yeah? And you can have your head in the clouds. And that's the whole point of Torah. And that's what Torah brought to the world. I'll tell you another story from a different Gemara, but on a very similar inyan. A very similar inyan. I'll tell you a very interesting story. And it goes like this. There's a Gemara. Now this one, I think, most of you, if not all of you, will probably know. It's quite a famous story. It's a Gemara in Baba Metzia. Nuntes. Yeah, Nuntes. Ahmed Beis, I think. Maybe it flips over. I think it's Nuntes, not Ahmed Beis. Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim. Yeah, you're aware of the story? Nansa Machloikis. Eh? Go on, what do you say? Yeah, very good. Yeah, very good. About the oven, right? So, Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim have a massive machloikas. So just to give you a bit of background, Reb Eliezer is a mamish, the God or Ador. Yeah, he's huge and learning, and middos, everything. Man's mamish, unbelievable. And then there's the Chachomim, who also unbelievably big. But Reb Eliezer is seen somewhat as the God or Ador. Okay, there's different shitas. I'm going to go with one mahalach here. Please don't come up to me after the shiur and start trying to trip me up and show me marashahs. No, I saw them. Don't worry. I just, in 40 minutes, one has to limit himself. Unless there's free biscuits, but there's not. So anyway, so Baba Metzia. So Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim have a machloikas about this oven. So I'm just going to give you a bit of background about this oven. Min haTorah, I'm pretty sure, min haTorah, for an oven to become tameh, for an oven to be makabel tumah, it has to be kli cheres, which means clay, and it also has to be, I think clay is made in a, not chelm, that's a city in Poland. Is it a kelm? I always get confused. Yeah, my grandfather came from kelm or kelm. I don't know, yeah? Nishkavelas, yeah? Anyway, so they put it in this gunster, big fire thing, and it goes vroom, and then it comes out, and it's a golden calf. No, that's a lot, 2 weeks. Sorry. Anyway, so they get this big pot, this big oven, and they heat it up, but it's one thing. It's one zach, yeah? They heat it up. And it comes out, and that's makabel, that could be makabel tumah. So now, nowadays we've got all these new inventions. Yeah, they've got all these like induction hobs and mamash, unbelievable. Yeah, I took my mother-in-law's one and I toibled it just to, no, didn't. Hush on. Anyway, so induction hobs, not going there. Anyway, so Reb Eliezer and the Chachomim, they have a machloikis. The Chachomim turn around and they say, there's this new oven on the market. I'm giving it a bit of poetic license here to keep people interested. There's a new oven on the market, good reviews, and it's on the market. And this oven, the problem is, they take the different walls of the oven and they cement them. Like, what? Yeah, maybe more round, bigger, I don't know exactly, right? But they take the oven and they cement the walls. Yeah, everyone understands. A normal oven is one kli, and this oven is different kli, different walls all cemented together. For anyone who's done any building in their lives, which is, I don't know if that's anyone, you don't heat cement. According to Rashi here anyway, they didn't used to heat the cement. Is that correct? Is that the Metzius? Yeah? No, is that the Metzius of cement? You don't heat it? No one knows, but I need to go, yeah, fine. Okay, we're in a shul here, people are like, what's cement, yeah? No, I'm saying, cement, right? It's the thing that sticks to things, you understand? Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay, anyway, fine. Anyway, so they cement all these walls together. They cement all these walls together, and the Chachomim come along and they go, oh, it's mamish shaila. L'choyer, it's makabel tumah. Yeah, it's makabel tumah min deraisa. This is a problem. This oven would be makabel tumah. Reb Eliezer stands up and he says, "Nah, you know, I'm makel here. I'm makel." Reb Eliezer's makel, and the Chachomim say, "Never. we've got roiv." The Torah says, you've got to listen to the majority, right? We've got roiv. Reb Eliezer goes, no. I'll bring you so many riyas that you'll feel like you've just come out of my shit. Yeah, and he starts bringing riya after riya that they're wrong. And they're like, Reb Eliezer, we're not following. It's like it's all over the place. And eventually, Rabbi Eliezer gets very frustrated, let's say. I'm using adjectives which are not necessarily used in the Gemara, but it seems that he becomes a bit agitated. And he says to the Chachomim, he says to Rabbi Yeshua especially, he says, if I'm right, that carob tree over there is going to be uprooted and it's going to start going into the distance. The Chachomim were like, Rabbi Eliezer, why are you doing this again? Yeah. So suddenly, the carob tree flies up in the air and shoons into the distance. As some say, 100 amos, which is mamish far, according to Chazanish, it's like here to the Baghdad, yeah? 100 amos. Other people say 400 amos. And Rabbi Yeshua stands up. He looks at Rabbi Eliezer. He says, Rabbi Eliezer, I don't know where you went to yeshiva, but we don't bring riyas from carob trees. And everyone's just silent. They carry on learning. So Rabbi Eliezer stands up again. He's frustrated. He says, if I'm right, the water in the lake outside is going to flow the other way. And lo and behold, the water starts flowing the other way. And Rabbi Yeshua, the Chumim, stand up. They say, we don't bring riyas from water. Rabbi Eliezer says, wow. Rabbi Eliezer starts again. He says, if I'm right, the walls of this base midrash will start collapsing. And lo and behold, the walls, they start shaking. And they're just about to fall. Rabbi Yeshua stands up. He says, you don't get involved. Walls, you don't get involved. This doesn't concern you. You don't get involved here. And suddenly the walls, out of cover to Rabbi Yeshua, they stop going down. But covered of Rabbi Eliezer, they also don't go up again. So you basically got this leaning tower of Mir, yeah, in the middle of where they were, right? And it's like this. And suddenly, Rabbi Eliezer looks at the Chachamim and he says, if I'm right, Shemayim will prove me right. And suddenly there's a bus call, and it says the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. So what do you think the Chachamim do? So Rabbi Yeshua stands up. Gemara says he stands up, he looks and he says, Lo b'shamayim hi. Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in heaven. The Torah is here. Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is here. We don't listen to bus calls. You think to yourself, I learned this Gemara. I literally, again, I had no idea. And the Gemara continues and it says, and then one of the Tanayim, Rabbi Nosson, I think, he meets Eliyahu Navi. And he says to Eliyahu Navi, what was a Kodesh Baruch Hu thinking when this whole discussion happened? When the Chachamim stood up and they said, Lo b'shamayim hi, what was a Kodesh Baruch Hu thinking? And it says, I'll just give you the Lashon of the Gemara. It says, Nischuni b'nai, which means, my children have prevailed over me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is laughing. He says, my children have prevailed over me. My children have almost like defeated me in a certain way. And he was happy. Gave him nachas. So you read this Gemara, and again, you have no idea what's going on. Again, it's such a strange Gemara that he brings all these riyas. They say, why did he bring from a carob tree? Because it says the carob is the most humble, the most simple food. Because I've got humility. I'm the most humble of all of us. Then why does he bring from a water fountain? Why does he bring from a stream outside? Why does he bring? It's Torah. Water is always Torah. Why does he bring from the walls of the base midrash? Hasmada in Torah. The walls are standing. He says, I'm greater in learning. I'm greater in midas. And I'm greater in hasmada. In Torah. But we still don't paskin like him. And he even brings a bus call and we don't paskin like him. And then the Gemara goes on. The whole Gansa thing. They put him in a chayrim and ayin sham. Right, ayin sham. So how do you understand? So to understand this Gemara, what on earth is going on, the first thing you need to do is you need to understand, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Moshe and Har Sinai? What did he give him? And what does Lo b'shamayim mean? What does it mean? And they're linked. When you understand this, you'll understand why the Torah is so magnificent and why what we have is so fundamental and unbelievable to our lives. We said already that you can be Makadosh the physical world. That's the message that we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we learn from this Maisa? So I want to ask you a question. If you said to a child, or some adults, let's say, but let's say a child, not to embarrass anyone, what do you think the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe on Har Sinai? When he went up for 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no drink, mum is steiging, yeah? What do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him? So everyone says, he gave him Gans Torah. He gave him all the shilas and tubas and da-da-da. So there are shitas like that. There's many shitas not like that. There's many shitas that you know what Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu. he gave him klalim. He gave him all the klalim that were needed for the doiros, for all the generations coming up, to be oisek in Torah, to be able to, for the chachomim to be able to paskin shailas in the future. He gave him all the klalim, all the science. Oh, I don't know how to put it in English. All the klalim, all of the kind of. Say again, louder. All the rules, all the kind of scientific things that you need to do with Torah. So I want to ask you, people think that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a microwave and showed it to him? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a microwave and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, in 3,500 years, there's going to be this thing called a microwave. And it's about this big, yeah? And it heats up very, very hot. But the chiddush is, the walls don't get hot. Only the food gets hot. So how do you kosher it? How do you kosher it? But it's very hard to kosher, because there's no point blowtorching the walls, because first of all, you'll break the thing. But second of all, they never heat it up in the first place. So, maybe you put cups of water in it, and you heat it up, and you leave it for 24 hours. Maybe you can't kosher it yet. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Right? I don't know if Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't think Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a microwave when he was on Har Sinai. If he was, okay, there are Midrashim, maybe like that, but I think it doesn't seem, especially from this story, Rabbi Eliezer, that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a microwave on Har Sinai. He was shown klalim. He was shown every kind of equation in halacha that you would need to reach all the conclusions for the future generations. But how to use them, and how to use them, that's up to Chazal. That's up to the Chazal of each generation to take their chokhmah that they received from Moshe Rabbeinu and to use it in the right shailas, right? Now, I'll just say that, so lo b'shamay, one sec, let me just find, one second. Yeah, so what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we use our own rules to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughed and he said, my children have prevailed over me. It means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Am Yisrael, he gave them klalim to be able to paskin for all the future generations. And it doesn't take, there's no point many years later for Rebbe Eliezer to stand up when the Chachomim have used those rules and the Chachomim have voted and they have Rive and the Torah says listen to Rive. There's no point in the Chachomim standing up and saying, there's no point that Rebbe Eliezer standing up and saying, oh, Basko, I'll use miracles to prove my way. Because that's not what the Torah said. So when he said bring a proof from a carob tree, when he brought a proof from water, when he brought a proof from the walls, all these things. So there, the Chazal, Rabbi Yeshua, they said, listen, he's a Ganz Talmud Chacham, and he's bringing riots. He's able to use certain koyach to manipulate the physical world. Right? But when a bus call comes, and it says the halachas like Rabbi Eliezer, so there, the Chachamim, they have to stand up, and there they say, lo b'shamayim hiv. The Torah is not in heaven. It doesn't matter that maybe the MS is like Rabbi Eliezer. That maybe the MS is that he's right. It doesn't matter, because the chashivas of Torah and the chashivas of the chachomim, of Talmudei chachomim, of Limud HaTorah, is that we can change in certain aspects the mitzias of Shemayim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe, it's possible to say, with the paskin a certain way, but now the chachomim have used their seichel and their koyachs, and they've delved into this shaila, and they paskin this way through Roiv, that becomes the mitzias in Shemayim. And it's an unbelievable thing. I don't think anyone else in the world, any other people in the world have such a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were able to take his own Torah, and he gives us certain powers. Well, not us, because I'm not Talmud Chacham, but the Sanhedrin and Gans Talmudei Chachamim to be able to paskin in their own ways. And that's what it means, Gemara in Erevin, right? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim, right? Beis Shammai's right, Beis Hillel right. How does that work? I remember when I was in Osameach, a boy once came up to me, he said, well, what do you mean they're both right? The Gemara says, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Now, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Yeah, that's also because of a bus call. I'm not going to go into it. Toysa's there, asked the Shaila, yeah? But I'm saying, it says, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim. They're both right. How can they both be right? Because they're both using their koyach, and they're both using the Mesoira that they were given, that Moshe was given, to get to the conclusions. So they're both right. How we paskin is a different thing. We paskin with Roiv there, with Beis Hillel, even though Beis Shammai maybe was sharper, yeah? But the way they got there, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Am Yisrael, it's unbelievable. And the way we get there is through Torah learning. And we don't realize how choshev Torah learning is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the koyach, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, to be able to mekadesh the physical world, to take things which are physical and to make them holy. He gives us the koyach through Limud HaTorah to be a Talmud Chacham, to be able to take the metzias of Shamayim and to be able to mold it to suit each generation. I'm talking about Talmudei Chachamim and Sanhedrins, not normal fellows in that. Yeah, you have to be careful with these things. How choshev is limud haTorah? So I saw a story over Shavuos. I was at someone's house, right? And he said to me, he told me, you're probably going to know the story. He told me a story about the Vilna Goin. So I checked this on a different sefer last night, and it does seem it's true. It says, when the Vilna Goin died, did anyone know when he died? What time of year? What did he say? Yeah, very good. So he died, I don't need Wikipedia coming. He died, Cholamoid Sukkos, I think he died. Okay, you test it. The Cholamoid Sukkos it was during, yeah, fine. So it says that it was just before Simchas Torah, and Chaim Volozhin, so he was devastated. His Rebbe had died, devastated, right? So it says he walks into the Beis Midrash, and everyone's learning, and he has to tell them that the Goyim's died. Right, so he walks in and they already know, and they're all devastated, and the downtrodden, the rov of the town, the god of Ador, the whole world has died, and now we've got to go into Simchas Torah. What are we going to do? So it says Chaim Volozhin stood up, and he said like this. We all know it's a famous song, right? He says the goyim has died. He's died. But he says Olam Haba is a good tzach. He said, don't worry, Olam Haba is a good tzach. It's a good thing, Olam Haba. We shouldn't forget that. But he said, learning Torah is a besazach. He said, you should know that learning Torah is a besazach. And then he goes on in Yiddish, and it's a whole song, but I can't remember the words, yeah? But the main point is, we must remember this our whole lives, that the more Torah, the more we can be oisek in Torah, and oisek in mitzvahs, the more kedusha we bring into our own lives. And the way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Torah. The way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be connected to Him, is always through limud haTorah. So people often think to themselves, well, you know, I don't know, the Vilna, tell me stories about the Vilna Goin, about Chaim Volozhin, but like, who am I? I'm a normal guy, I barely have time to learn, I'm running around with the kids and work and this and that. So how can I take my inspiration? Where can I take my inspiration from? So I have a few stories here, but the Maisa, we're not going to have time, but I'll just tell you one which I think is so, so, so powerful. There's a Gemara in Yoma, and it says like this, Lamed Hei, Amad Beis, and it says like this, it says that it wants to bring certain rise that everyone has to be oisek in Torah, everyone has to learn Torah. So it says, someone goes up to Olam Haba, and they say to him, Nu, did you learn Torah? And he looks at them and he says, listen, I was too poor, I was a poor man, it was hard for me. And the Gemara looks at him, and they say to him, and they say to him in the next world, they say to him, well, you're as poor as Hillel. He says, Hillel? Like, you know how poor Hillel was? You know Hillel, he became a Nasi, but before he was a Nasi, he was so poor that he used to earn, whatever it was, he used to earn money, and he'd pay half of his money to be able to, okay, I don't know exact pashat, to be able to get into the Beis Midrash. He'd pay half of his money, and the other half he'd live on. Right? He was so poor, so they actually asked, well, you only have to give a fifth, you only have to give up to a fifth, right? So how come he gave half his money to get into the Beis Midrash? They say, for limud haTorah, it's different. There's no limit. To learn Torah, there's no limit. You can spend whatever you want to learn Torah, and l'chayra as well, according to Richter and Beitzer anyway, the money will come back. I think even the Pashat Pashat and the Gemara and Beitzer, the money will come back, whatever you spend on Torah learning. So it says, Hillel, he went up to the roof because he didn't have money one time. He didn't make money. So he's on the roof, and suddenly it starts to snow. Starts to snow, and he gets covered in snow, and they have to bring him down on Shabbos, and the Chachonim have to resuscitate him, and they say, this is a real Talmud Chacham, this is someone who's going to go places, right? This is a person who it's worth, okay, exact pshat, breaking Shabbos for, it's worth doing Mechalal Shabbos for. Well, you're as poor as Hillel, and the guy standing there like, oh gosh, they got me here, I definitely wasn't as poor as that, right? And then they say to him, ah, the next chap comes along, they go, next, and he walks in, and he goes, did you learn Torah? He goes, I was very rich. And I owned this house and that house, and I was renting this one, and I was renting that one. I had 17 shops, 4 cars, 3 private jets. When was I going to have time to learn Torah? So they look at him and they say, tell me, were you as rich as Rebbe Eliezer ben Charsam? Who I think also was a Kohen Gadol, I don't know how to learn that, but anyway. Yeah, were you as rich as him? And he says, I don't know who he is. He said, well, he was left 1,000 towns and 1,000 villages and servants and guns wealth. And one time he was walking in his own field and his servants got him and they said, who are you? You're trespassing. You come and meet the master. And he said, Raboisai, I'm your boss. They said, we don't recognize you. He didn't recognize him because he was always in the Beis Midrash. Were you as rich as him? And again they say, oh, I wasn't as rich as him, and they walk off. And the third person comes in, and he's very good looking. This is easy for you to picture. And he looks and he walks in and he says, and he's a Russia, this guy. Now it's harder to picture. The guy was a Russia. And he walks in and he liked ladies. He was involved in the Oisek and the Ishois and all these things. Not to go into details, but whatever. And they look at him and they say, "You're a good looking boy." He says, "Thank you." They go, "Were you as good looking as Yosef Tzadik?" And Yosef Tzadik, he knows, right? Chumash, he knows, yeah? So he says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Yosef Tzadik was 17. And he was sold by his brothers, disowned. He thought that the whole world was against him. He, where's the Kodesh Baruch Hu? I've been sold into slavery. I did nothing wrong. And he's living with this woman, and she's nice to look at, and she's funny, and mummish, but she's married to Rabbi Yisrael, yeah? And she's changing her clothes 16 times a day, and she's got a Shabbos Shaito, a Yom Tov Shaito, a Tuesday Shaito, a Wednesday Shaito, a long one, a short one, a bob one, bleh. Mummish kefelach. And every single day she's trying, Yosef, come here, Yosef, I want to close the door, Yosef." And he says, "No, leave me alone, he has teretz, Kodesh Baruch Hu loves me, I'm not interested, I'm not interested, I'm not interested." And he's mechazik himself, and he doesn't get involved. And the guy looks at this chap, he looks at the Beis Din and Shemayim, and he says, "Nah, I wasn't, Taka, I wasn't, yeah, you're right." That's the story in Yoma. Nice story, right? Inspirational, right? So a boy in Osameach, he comes up to me. And the problem, sometimes the problem, the chesaron and also the good thing, sometimes is art scroll. Because art scroll translates everything, right? Which is lovely, but at the same time, things can be taken out of context sometimes. So, without art scroll, I wouldn't be here today, that's for sure, yeah? But I'm saying, well, maybe I would be okay. Anyway, so, probably Rosh Shiva. No, so I'm saying that, so this boy comes up to me in Osameach, and he says to me, he goes, "You know, he chose me this Gemara." He says, "The Talmud Bavli Schottenstein says," he puts it in front of me, "in Yoma, 35b. I said, "Yes." He says, it says that when you get to Olam Haba, if you haven't learned Torah, so they're going to say to you, "Were you as poor as Hillel, who nearly died in the snow? Were you as rich as this other rabbi who, you know, just learned Torah and he was left money? Were you as handsome as Yosef Tzadik, who mummish was chased by this woman and he ran away?" He goes to me, Rabbi Richman. I said, "What?" He goes, "My dad's not even Jewish. I only found out I was Jewish like a month ago. And you're telling me I'll get to Olam Haba, they're going to ask me all these shilas, why didn't you learn Torah?" He said, I don't know Aleph Beis. He's like, how do I learn Torah? They're really going to ask me all these questions. So I said to him, it's a gevaldik kashayla, yeah? He says, "I don't speak Yiddish." I said, "It's a good question." So I said to him, "I don't know." I said, "Lachora, I don't know. I need to think about it. I'll come back tomorrow." And I came back the next day, and I said to him, "I think the answer is Zoi. And I think people will agree, Lachora. Tell me afterwards if you think I've got wrong pshat in the Gemara." Rabbi Yisrael, the Gemara is not saying you should be like Hillel. The Gemara is not saying if you're poor, so why are you not lying in the snow, nearly dying, trying to learn Torah? The Gemara is not saying you have to be rich. And if you're rich, you have to be, your own people in your house shouldn't know who you are, and you should be in the Beis Midrash non-stop. The Gemara is not saying that if you're so handsome, you're going to be judged like Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik had a very choshev father, and some of us, well, I happen to have a very choshev father, but many people don't have a choshev fathers. So how can you be judged like Yosef? The Gemara is saying that these three individuals gave 100% koyach to what they had to achieve in life. They gave 100%. They didn't stop. They didn't come up with excuses. "Oh, I'm poor. Oh, I'm rich. Oh, I've been disowned by my family." There were no excuses. They were Oisek in Torah. They were Oisek in mitzvahs, no matter what. And each and every one of us should take the message from Shavuos. And we should not, you don't have to be Hillel. You're not going to be judged that you weren't Hillel. But we will be judged as people that did you do your best. So just do your best. And if you honestly do your best, and you gave 100%, no one can have any tainas on you. I give everyone a brocha that we should go from strength to strength in our avodas Hashem, that we should grow, we should take these messages and be... We should grow in Torah and mitzvah. Have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead. Really?